to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, thank God for every person out there that could join me today. I just pray, Father, that you pour out a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation upon them and open their eyes and give them a revelation of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and what a great salvation has been given to us through the gospel. Amen. You know, I was talking to Pamela Ponte about how I wanted to change the intro. You know, you heard the new intro I've got to my podcast, and I told her about how I wanted it, and she said, let me get with Hakeem, that's her executive producer, and Hakeem composed this intro in just a matter of minutes and sent it to us. You talk about talent, and I'm surrounded by some very talented singers, songwriters, composers, musicians. I mean, they are the best. And you want to know what's really wild? I mixed and edited the music, and you know, so I could put in the part of Pam introducing my ministry. And you know, my son Caleb is a producer, and he showed me this software years back that mixes different audios together. Caleb used to be a producer for Glenn Beck. Anyway, I mixed the music with Pam doing the intro, and it was kind of choppy at the end, and I didn't like it, and I didn't know how to fix it. A couple of days later, I listened to it again, and it was fixed and sounded perfect. I immediately knew God fixed it. Well, I didn't fix it, and nobody hacked my computer and fixed it. So, you know, so anyway, I wanted to put a new intro in. One was created just like that. Then I couldn't mix it right. It was corrected by somebody. Believe what you want, but I know God's with me. Also, we have a soundtrack made for In the Shadow of His Wings. That's been produced. Now Pam just needs to go into the studio and sing the lead vocals and the backup vocals. Then the producer can put it all together. Then we'll bring forth that song in my podcast. It's going to be a good one. And we will never stop. We will keep pumping out anointed songs, anointed teachings. And there's other things in the making. Another thing I want to bring to people's attention, I recommend you take my podcast, put them on some player that has a loop that they can play continually, either in your house or your place of business or both. And, you know, turn the sound down low where you can barely hear them, because, you know, you'll get tired of hearing the same podcast over and over. But these podcasts are anointed, and that's the whole purpose. So you can do this with anointed music too. And the reason you keep playing is it'll supply the Spirit of God where you're at. And you can turn it down. That Spirit will, the Spirit will still be ministered to you. And this will help you get in faith when you read the Word of God. You know, I did this the other night, kept it playing at my house all night long, and I woke up in the morning full of the anointing. So this works. So I recommend you do it. Turn to Romans 13:7. I want to read you some English Standard Version. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. And I want to thank God for our military at the direction of President Trump going into Iran, destroying their nuclear facilities. And I'm going to tell you something. Operation Midnight Hammer will go down in history as one of the great military operations of our time. And so I say, excellent job, President Trump. And thank you for making the world a safer place. God is surely with you. And you know, all those news networks and other people that oppose that this military operation was carried out and say, oh, it wasn't right or it wasn't successful, you're just discrediting yourself. We don't pay attention, any attention to you. You have let your pride and your hate bring you down. You probably don't even know it. Everybody knows what a great success this operation was and how it made the world a safer place. So I want to show respect to our military and to President Trump. Thank you. All right. Now I want to bring out of the scriptures how we can please God. Turn to Acts 13:22, International Standard Version. Then God removed Saul and made David their king, about whom he testified, I found that David, the son of Jesse, is a man after my own heart, who will carry out all my wishes. See, David praised God and did God's will. And look what is wrote about David in Psalm 19. Turn there, verse 13. Keep back that, or what David wrote. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now look at how this man conducted himself. Keep me back from transgression, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, David put his trust in God to be righteous. He was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. See, don't tell God how righteous you are. Say, search me, Lord. Expose all the wicked ways in me, and then lead me in the right way. Turn to Hebrews 11:5. Let's look at that. International Standard Version. We're going to look at another man that pleased God. By faith, Enoch was taken away without experiencing death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he won approval as one that pleased God. See, God was so pleased with Enoch that he took him to be with him. And the next verse tells us how Enoch pleased God. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to him must believe that he exists, that he rewards those who diligently seek for him. That's what pleases God. You want to please God? That's all it takes. Believe him. Put your faith in him. He will bring forth righteousness in your life. He will deal with your sin. See, this is how we deal with sins, with using our faith. This is how we believe unto righteousness. And this is what pleases God. All right? Not you trying to save yourself. Not you trying to be righteous. Oh, we apply ourselves to keep the words of God. But we're righteous by faith. 2 Chronicles 20:7. Art not thou our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? You know, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord spoke to me one time and said, my friend. And, you know, he told me this about this woman named Terry, and he said to me, she's my friend. I said, oh, really? Okay. You know, let me tell you something. You want to be a friend of God? Turn to James 2:20. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Let's read verse 22 in the English Standard Version. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God. He was counted as righteous, and he's called a friend of God. There it is. Walk by faith. And the works, you know, he did here was God was telling him to do it. So, and don't think that you can't ever walk this way, because you can. If you learn to read the word, put the word in your heart, you'd be surprised. You'll see God start leading you. And you're using your faith with works, and your faith will be acted by your works, and you'll be obeying God, believing God, and you'll be a friend of God. Turn to Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying. These things I will thou affirm constantly. that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So we saw how Abraham's faith was active by his works, and his faith was perfected by works. Now, like I said before, these works were directed by God. But the more you get your heart on God, the more he will be leading you, all right? You know, I used to have a problem thinking about being led by the Spirit, because I thought, you know, I let my head get in the way, and I said, I don't know how to do that. What do you mean, be led by the Spirit? Well, how am I going to do that? Well, you get in faith and believe, and God will start leading you. And, you know, you don't even know it sometimes. But then the more you get your heart opened, then you'll see, oh, God just led me to do that. Okay, keep talking about being a friend of God. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Okay, so the Lord's talking about him laying down his life to make us his friends. So he first lays down his life to make his friend, then says, we're his friends if we do what he commands us. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. See how gracious the Lord is? He says, I'm going to lay down my life for my friends. And then he says, now keep my words, and you'll be a friend to me. All right? Now, there needs to be a change of heart to live this way. And if you go back to verse 1 and read through verse 15, you'll see how you get your heart changed. It's very simple. You abide in the vine. You abide in Christ. Some can't walk this way because they've been taught such a strict set of guidelines and minister guilt and condemnation. And you can only get here by faith. But if you'll just trust in the gospel and walk after the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will change your heart and make you willing. See, the reason I say the strict set of guidelines and all the and people being taught the law of Moses, it keeps people from walking this way because their heart is hardened by this and they have no desire for this. Let me tell you something. The more God changes you, the more walking with God will become your passion. It's such a wonderful truth when you get a hold of this. Turn to Philippians 2:12, International Standard Version. And so, my dear friends, just as ye have always obeyed, not only when I was with you, but even more now that I'm absent, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. See, God makes us pleasing in his sight. Isn't that wonderful? God's not here to try to find some sin about you and say, I got you. He already knows that we're in sin. He knows we're born in a fallen state. He knows we're all under sin and need to be regenerated. See? He knows that an unregenerated heart doesn't care for him. He knows that. Look at Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Same verse, International Standard Version. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am merely human, sold as a slave to sin. Now go back to the third chapter, verse 10, Romans. As Scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. Now see, we don't stay this way. God's going to regenerate us. And everyone that's received Jesus, the start of regeneration has started. So nobody's seeking God. Nobody's desiring the things of God until God changes your heart. And these changes come about through faith as you believe. So all the ministers that minister guilt and condemnation for sin, instead of preaching the good news of the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that puts to death the sin in us and makes a that, you know, and that sin is what makes us enemies of God, and preaches that gospel and makes us a new creature, and then we become a friend of God. You're not helping people. You're not helping people by preaching condemnation. You need to preach the gospel. You know, people are deceived. They cleave to the things of the devil, who's a hateful being. Of course, they don't know they're doing that. they're yielding to him, and they resist the living God who's love. It's, you know, I remember God began to open my eyes and I would begin to see that, and I thought, oh, and I couldn't seem to help myself, and I thought, oh, wretched man that I am, look at this. I want things that aren't good for me, but I don't want things that are good for me. You know, many people have been perverted and think it's fine to conform to this present world. They're ashamed to walk as a Christian because the sin in them has deceived them. Okay, Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Okay, now God's got to bring you to the place to seek for him with all your heart. And the more your heart wants the things of God, the more you should rejoice, because you're being changed. You're being spiritually regenerated. But you have to will to do these things. You have to make yourself. But I would encourage you, as you make yourself do this, to believe the gospel, to abide in Christ, to keep the words of God. God will be bringing you into good relationship with him. Isn't that wonderful? Look at Proverbs 8, chapter verse 31. I'm going to read the complete Jewish Bible. Playing everywhere on his earth and delighting to be with humankind. See, now Proverbs 8 is talking about the Son. Okay, now, and the Godhead is made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three divine beings, one God, in perfect unity and moving and acting as one. This is the creator of the ends of the earth. Okay, so, you know, like when you read about the God of Israel, it's talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you hear about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? They're interchanged all through the scripture because this is the true and living God. Okay? You know, the Holy Spirit is the eyes of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the right hand of God. All right? Okay, let's look at Proverbs 8:31 in the International Standard Version. Rejoicing in the inhabitable world, taking delight in mankind. See, so this is specifically talking about the Son, but it's the Father and the Holy Spirit too. They take delight in the earth and they delight in men. Did you ever think about that? That God delights in men? He delights in his creation. All right? Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst thee is mighty. He will say, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Let's read that in the International Standard Version. The Lord your God among you is powerful. He will save. He will take joyful delight in you. In his love, he will renew you. With his love, he will celebrate with singing because of you. You know, I had one time, and I've shared this many times before, I was singing this song that was playing on the radio. And when it came to the part where it said, I am Jehovah, I am that I am, God began to sing it to me, saying, I am Jehovah, I am that I am. I thought, oh my God, God is singing to me. All right? So God will sing to us. He rejoices in us. Now, let's look at how our carnal mind is against God. Romans 8:17. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That word enmity is hostile. It's hostile. It opposes God. The carnal mind, or the mind set on the flesh. Let's read the International Standard Version. This is why the mind that focuses on human nature is hostile towards God. It refuses to submit to the authority of God's law because it is powerless to do so. So it can't do it. And it's the sin in us that causes us to be this way. But I got good news for you. Jesus took away that sin. And if you continue in the faith believing Jesus died for your sins and he was buried, he rose again, and believe that you died with him and you were buried with him through water baptism, you'll come out of all your sins. I'm telling you, water baptism is a glorious truth. You know, without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, there's no remission of sins. And only those who receive Jesus Christ and believe will be forgiven and made right with God. See, you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be a good person to go to heaven. Only through the blood of Christ. And you have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again, spiritually regenerated, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. Look at John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming on him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He took it away. He bore it on his body, and the way you receive that is water baptism. Get baptized in water. You're being crucified with Christ. Okay, Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of command contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. See, the law of Moses will cause you to be hostile towards God. And God abolished the law of Moses on the cross. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God, this is Jew and Gentile, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now this enmity is the hostility, and it is the old man. See, he slayed the old man, and this is what made Jew and Gentile hostile towards God. So, slaying the enemy, slaying the old man, the sin in us, which made us hostile towards God. But see, when you first turn to God, both the law and the sin is still there. And as you continue in the faith, you get set free from the law of Moses and the sin in us. So you can't just read these things, oh, well, Jesus dealt with that on the cross. Well, why do you think you see these wrathful Christians? It's all the law in them. You know, it says the law, a work of wrath. It makes people angry. You have a problem of anger, it's a law in your heart. Have a problem with guilt, it's a law in your heart. Always thinking about, you know, sin and guilt, got the law in your heart. Got to get it out. All right? Once you've come to Christ, you don't need the law anymore. You don't need to confess the Ten Commandments to put to death sin. You can put to death sin by faith in the gospel. You know, saying thou shalt not just makes it worse. Let's read 2:15 and 16 Amplified Bible. By abolishing, and that's Ephesians, by abolishing his own abolishing in his own flesh the hostility caused by the law, is in the parentheses, it says, own crucified. Caused by the law with his commands contained in orders. Let me read that again. By abolishing in his flesh the hostility caused by the law with his commandments contained in orders, which he satisfied, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, that's Jew and Gentile, therefore establishing peace, that he might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentiles, united in one body of God through the cross, therefore putting to death the hostility. And this is not talking about the hostility between Jew and Gentile, talking about the hostility between man and God. Colossians 3:20, you children, you want to please God? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There you go. Submit to your parents. Obey God. Obey your parents, and that'll please the Lord. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever and ever. Do you see God is at work so we can have a good relationship with him? God wants that for you. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to love him like he loves you, and so you can be happy. No guilt, no fear, knowing that you have eternal life and you're on your way to heaven, and then blessing you in this life. Everything that, every problem you have in life, he will perfect that which concerns you. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater in our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive it, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, and that's how we assure our hearts before him, is keeping the words of God. And so while God has changed you from being hostile towards him, and you're being reconciled back to him, you're becoming his friend. And you don't have to be condemned because of any sin. See, because while you're walking through these things, while he's making you a friend, you're still having sins. But he's not counting up those sins. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 5:19, New Life Version. God was in Christ. He was working through Christ to bring the whole world back to himself. God no longer held men's sins against them, and he gave us the work of telling and showing men this. Okay? He's not counting up our sins. When you walk in Christ, he's not saying, okay, you did it again. He's in the process of purging them. He doesn't hold them against you. He doesn't count them up if you walk in Christ. Turn to Romans 4:6. Even as David also described the blessings of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He won't count them up or hold them against you. Let's read that verse 8 in the New Life Version. Those people are happy whose sins the Lord will not remember. International Standard Version. How blessed is a person whose sins the Lord will never charge against him. Christian Standard Bible. Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin. Amplified. Blessed and happy and favored is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account nor charge against him. Now, does this blessing come upon everyone? No. This blessing comes upon those who walk in the faith of the steps of Abraham. See, go read it in context. Don't take my word for it. Go read it. That's what it's saying. Fourth chapter of Romans. See, this blessedness is given to everyone, but only those who walk in the faith of the steps of Abraham does it come upon. So God won't count up or hold against you your sins if you walk by faith. That is, walk in the word of God. And so while you're walking this way, as you're walking this way, you still have sins. See? But we don't have to be condemned about them. And as we continue in the faith, we'll be in the process of being set free from the sins. See, God made a way to deliver us. He made a way to get out. It's through faith. It's by believing and walking in his word. You'll walk right out of bondage. Turn to Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, this scripture is in the context of people who are in bondage to the slavery of sin. See, just read the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. And it talks about how we're in the slavery to, you know, one sin or another. Then you go to the 8th chapter, and it says, there is therefore no condemnation, referring back to the 7th chapter, and our struggle with sin. Now read the next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, as you walk after the Spirit of God, you practice the words of God, you will be set free from sin by the law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus. You know, and even like you sit down to read the Word of God, you may only be able to read for a little while, and then you'll go off and do something else. You know, do your own thing. But, and I'm not saying that God leads you to do all kinds of things. We're free to do all things. But God will bring you to the place where you're in faith in everything you do and you're led by the Spirit in everything you do. But you get to where you get set free more and more and you delight in the Word of God more. See, I've experienced this and I am experiencing this. Turn to John 8:31. Then said Jesus, those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Truth shall make you free. You know, I said last week, unless you forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciples. Well, if you just continue in the word, then you become a disciple. You're coming in to being a disciple. See, you got to start somewhere. You're not going to just lay down your life all at once. Just continue in the word, and you'll become a disciple. And look what will happen to you. You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. See, and it's talking about you being made free from the slavery of sin if you continue the Word of God. All right, turn to Isaiah 53, verse 10. You know what? Let me go ahead and put a song here. Let's do It Is No Secret, What God Can Do by Pamela Pontia.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? you may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have hope for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. God can do. There is no night, for in God's light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Okay, now turn to Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. You know, it says his soul is going to be made an offering for sin. He's going to die for the sins of the whole world. And then it says, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Well, I thought he died. Well, he was raised from the dead. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand. So this is Jesus being made a sin offering. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul. This is the Father seeing the travail of Jesus' soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God saw Jesus suffering for our sins as he took our punishment, and God was satisfied. All our sins were paid for. You know, and so through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has justly dealt with every person's sin. That's why he can justify all men. And the only thing you have to do is put your trust in Christ. All right? Boy, I waited until the last put that song in, didn't I? Let's see. Let me look at time, see if God has me say anything else. Let's see. Anyway, if there's anything I want you to get out of this podcast, you need to know God is for you. He's not here to get you for your sin. The good news of the good news is that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And it says, while we were yet dead in our sins, Christ died for us. All right? So, you know, and when you walk in the gospel, power of God's going to expose your sin. But don't shrink back in fear. God already knew that was there in your heart. He knows all men. He knows what's in you. Okay? Some of the stuff is not pretty. Okay? And when it gets exposed, it'll freak you out. But don't suppress the truth, like it says in Romans 1:18. You know, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is righteous God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Then the next verse says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous. I mean, who suppress the truth and unrighteous. Now, why is it saying that there? Because I guarantee you start walking in this gospel and that power start working in you, it's going to expose your sin. You know, one time God exposed in me that I had murder in my heart, and he took it out of me. And when you see that, when God exposed some of this stuff in your heart, it can freak you out. You can go, oh my God, God, surely God won't have anything to do with me if I'm that way. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. Look, the sin nature of Adam entered into man. And people have different sins, different works, different evil works in their heart. Jesus said, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, all these things. Now, some of them, they're in your heart and you've never even done them. And if you'll, and thank God, and if you receive the Lord, you can get them taken out before you ever do them. See, you know, prison's full of murderers. You know why? They didn't turn to the Lord and let God set them free. And they ended up falling into that sin. And, you know, I was reading this thing the other day about this minister was talking about, or I was listening to a video actually, and this minister was talking about blaspheming the Holy Ghost, and he was talking about people going too far. Well, and said that was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost is when somebody's cast out a devil and you say that's a devil and that person casts out the devil. That is blaspheming the spirit. And then it goes on and says either make the tree good or make it evil. And what that's saying is, if you won't let God make you a good tree, then he could eventually make you an evil tree and then give you up to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But people don't slip up and blaspheme the Holy Spirit. God will uphold you, not let that happen. You can read that in the first chapter of Romans. I was talking about verse 18. If you go on and read it, it talks about people that weren't thankful and didn't believe God. God gave them up to their sin. See, God has to give you up to let you go deeper and deeper into sin and then be destroyed. God loves everybody. He wants everyone to be saved. So don't go that way. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say this prayer right now and be saved. It says, there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. And whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. So say that. Say this prayer with me. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. If you've said that prayer in a minute, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you. And now, as you'll walk with him, you'll be joined to the Lord. And he will continue a work of grace in your heart and continue to spiritually regenerate you until he takes you onto perfection. It's a great life, folks. There's some suffering in it, but there's some suffering going your own way. But the suffering going your own way gets, you become more corrupt. The suffering walking in God, you become more righteous. All right? Get delivered from your sin. So be wise. Follow God. Don't let the sin in your heart deceive you. I know what I'm talking about, folks. Anyway, that's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.